Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. This week's episode features Sarah Beth of Sarah Beth Yoga. She is a YouTube star when it comes to yoga videos, and she's such an inspiration. I cannot wait for you guys to listen into this interview. So a little bit about the background of this interview is that I was probably about 4 weeks postpartum, and I was breastfeeding Lizzie while I was interviewing her, and it was just kind of crazy day. So I might sound out of sorts in this interview, but Sarah Beth, if you don't know her, she's a mother of two boys. She actually just had a baby a couple of months ago as well, and she's a wife and yoga teacher leading over 375,000 yogis through yoga videos online to get stronger, healthier, and happier. In the last year, she launched her membership site, and she has a Sarah Beth Yoga app where you can access all of her teachings, including full-length classes, calendars, and programs, including her famous prenatal yoga program. And actually, that's how I found her. I was using her prenatal yoga classes on YouTube, which are free, and she actually has a full-length program if you are pregnant, and she gave me a code for everyone. If you use the code PREGNANT, you will get 30% off her prenatal yoga program, so definitely go check that out. You can also check her out on YouTube, subscribe to her there. You can follow her on Instagram at Sarah Beth Yoga, and then of course the Sarah Beth app. So let's jump into this interview and get started. Okay, but first I need to thank this podcast episode sponsor, Watermelon Road. You guys definitely have to know about Watermelon Road by now. I literally talk about them all the time. But basically what they are is dried fruit jerky. They have no refined sugars, no preservatives, no artificial flavoring. They're soy free, paleo friendly, vegan friendly, gluten free, and dairy free. You can literally hand this out at your kid's birthday party, and it'll be accessible to everyone. Best of all, they have the best flavors. So my personal favorite is pineapple mojito, but my husband really likes the apple pie, and there's two other flavors, watermelon lemonade and mango margarita. Guys, you're missing out if you haven't tried this yet. Head over to watermelonroad.com. And I will leave you guys a special promo code in the show notes. All right, let's jump into today's episode. Hi, Sarah, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's jump right in. Why don't you give us a brief background about yourself?
Okay, so I am an online yoga teacher. I have been teaching online for 8 years. I have two babies, a toddler and a five-month-old. I'm married, living in Colorado, and just trying to balance life as an entrepreneur and a mom.
I love that, and I thoroughly enjoy your YouTube videos. So I really want to know, how did your wellness journey start, and how did you get into teaching yoga?
So I've always known that I had to find ways to manage stress. Even as like a child, I have ulcerative colitis, which is an autoimmune disease, and I was diagnosed early when I was 8. I had symptoms when I was 5, and I figured it out pretty early that stress made my symptoms worse. So I had little books here or there as I was growing up about yoga or different yoga poses or different things you can do to manage stress. I did guided meditations. So I always had an interest. And then when I was 15, I went to my first yoga class. It was not the best experience. it was just humbling, I think. And for anyone that's new to yoga, the first class, I think, is just humbling. But there was something about it. After that class, I felt so good that I just wanted to go back. I was like, I'm okay with feeling like a beginner. And I continued practicing. I kind of had an on-off practice for a while. And then there was a day where I had a turning point in my career, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And my husband was my boyfriend at the time, and he suggested that I pursue something that I've always wanted to do if there were no limits, and that was being a yoga teacher. So that's what I did, and it totally evolved my practice, and it gave me a calling, and I sort of developed that calling over time as I taught and found my voice.
That's awesome. How did you get into, did you start out your teacher career in a studio and then progress over into YouTube, or have you always just strictly done a YouTube career?
I started in a studio, and I 100% recommend that for anybody who's considering teaching online is first start with actual humans. There's so much to learn about actually teaching in a class. There's so much to learn about working with 20 students at the same time and fumbling with the remote for the music and the timing and just being a part of a community. So I taught in studio for about a year and a half before I made any videos online. And those first videos online, by the way, were just cringe. I really don't like looking back, but I do like looking back because it's nice to see that you can start as a beginner no matter what you're doing, and if you stick to it, you'll grow and you'll learn. And the same thing goes with yoga or teaching online. I taught for a while in studio, and then I had my own donation-based community class that I was teaching for a few months. And then when that was over, that's when I turned to YouTube because I wanted to continue making yoga accessible to all.
I love that. Yeah, I actually stumbled upon your YouTube page when I was pregnant and I was looking for some prenatal yoga. And then since then, I've been like absolutely hooked. I love it. So would you say, what's your favorite part about teaching prenatal yoga or even postpartum yoga, because I saw that you had a video for postpartum as well.
Yeah, so I took a prenatal yoga certification course probably a year and a half before I got pregnant myself, because I wanted to make sure, even though there's a small section of my original training that was about prenatal yoga, I wanted to dive deep. I wanted to make sure that not only was I doing it properly within my own body, but that I really understood women who I was teaching prenatal yoga to as well. And the training, the certification was amazing, but actually being pregnant myself gave me a whole different level of experience to teach from. So I love teaching prenatal yoga because it gives pregnant women a chance to really connect with themselves and with their babies and with their transforming bodies during this time of transformation. Because, and you probably understand this now, but you came out the other side, not a different woman, because you're the same woman, but like an evolved woman, right?
Totally, totally. I love
same
that.
Same goes with postnatal yoga. I feel like, and it, again, my own postnatal experience, I think, gives me such a strong foundation to stand on when I'm speaking about postnatal yoga, because I do believe that it's so important and essential for a woman to start with postnatal to repair her body and specifically her core if she's got diastasis recti, her posture. Feeding a baby is going to cave your shoulders forward and cause some tension in your neck that you might not realize is there until it's a little too late. So postnatal yoga helps address a woman's body. And instead of opening like prenatal yoga, postnatal yoga helps you close and heal. And then you eventually start to feel like, oh, this is really easy and that's familiar. That's when you know it's time to move on and you can go on to your regular yoga practice.
I love that you explained the difference between the two, because that was actually my next question for you. And I totally feel that breastfeeding. I feel like I'm hunching over as much as I try not to. I just kind of fall into that. So I'm excited to start my postnatal practice in 2 weeks when I can finally work out again.
Yeah. And, you know, in the meantime, my chiropractor gave me some really great advice. And that was when I am, whether you're breastfeeding or you're feeding your baby with a bottle, put a pillow behind your head and allow yourself to kind of be propped into your own position so that you're not sitting with that text neck with your head craning down to look at your baby. You can relax into it.
That's such a great tip. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So aside from your, you know, free YouTube videos, you also have a kick-ass app. And would you just be able to explain how the app kind of works for everybody who's listening?
Yeah, so a little over a year ago, I launched the Sarabeth Yoga membership and app. So the app is for Sarabeth Yoga members, and I'm currently working on opening it up so that there's more functions and features within the app. But at the moment, it is for Sarabeth Yoga members. And if you become a Sarabeth Yoga member, you get access to everything that I've ever created and will ever create. And that includes my prenatal yoga program, which is an extensive full-on program with everything prenatal that you could ever need, and my postnatal yoga series and my tone yoga program. And so really, like, all of my programs, all of my calendars, all of my videos that you will see on YouTube, you'll get in the app ad free. And you get, I mean, at this point, I think there's 60 extra member only videos, including full length yoga classes, 45 to 60 minute classes. I'm continuing to add more and more member only content as I get requests. And the app allows you to download the videos within the app, like Spotify, so that you can take these videos with you if you're traveling, or with you to the gym, or in your dorm room, or anywhere where you might not have like a stable internet connection. You can still practice yoga, and you can favorite and download some of your favorite routines with me.
I love that. That's really cool. I didn't realize that feature, that you could actually, you know, remotely use it.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things I wanted in the beginning was, you know, really, truly, can you take it with you?
That's a really cool feature. As soon as you said that, I was like, wow, that'd be really cool if I could, like, go outside in my backyard where my internet connection isn't as strong, you know, on a really nice day and do one of your sequences. Mm-hmm. So I actually asked my Bring Your Own Kombucha followers to send in some questions. So I have three questions that I want to ask you that they sent in. Mm-hmm. And the first one is, how do you find a yoga mat that is meant for you? The person who sent it in said, I just learned yesterday that after doing yoga for about 5 to 6 months now, that the yoga mat has two different sides. Do you think gripping is important? And how do you find that mat?
So there's a couple things to address there. Before everyone goes over and starts flipping their mats around to find those two different sides, not every yoga mat has two different sides. Some do. Some have one side's like a microfiber finish and the other side is more of a grippy rubber texture. A lot of mats have the same texture on both sides. Really, what I think is important when you're looking for a mat that's meant for you is to be open-minded and let that door be open for a little bit, so that when you're talking to people, you can ask them, like, what kind of mat do you like the most? You can message people like me and ask, what kind of mat do you like the most? Personally, my favorite mats right now are the Yoga Design Lab mats. They're the ones that you see in all of my newer videos. Everything that has that white infinity backdrop has these Yoga Design Lab mats. They're very colorful. But I love them the most because they have a microfiber finish on one side, which is like a yoga towel. So if you have a sweaty yoga practice, you can grip a little bit easier into it. But it's also nice for restorative and yin, like long holding yoga practices. When you need to just kind of drag your leg into position, it's so soft and buttery that you're not going to catch your heel on the mat. The other side of the mat is a grippy rubber texture, but I've never considered it a yoga mat because, well, here, so I'm going to break something down real quick. And that is that there were no modern day yoga mats when yoga first started. And that's kind of a shocker. We're like, what did you do? Well, yoga originally started as a meditation practice, and the asanas, which means pose, physical postures, were then later on developed to help stimulate that meditation practice. You could release energy and tension so that you could meditate for a little bit longer. So if anything, yogis way, way, way back in the day would sit on top of like pelts or, you know, what they could find that was just a little bit cushion. And then the modern day yoga mat was invented very recently by a yogini who created out of a, carpet mat, the mat that goes underneath carpet for cushioning.
Oh, like a pad, like a rug pad almost.
Yeah. And so I think that the mistake that people make is that they want grip. Oh, my mat's not grippy enough, or I can't grip into my mat. What's the problem? Well, the problem is that the grip, if you're really searching for grip, it's going to hinder your practice because you want to have a little bit of, slippage, if you will, so that your body works to hold you into position. It's not that you want to sit in down dog because you're gripping into the mat so well that you're not going anywhere. If you can actually be in down dog or warrior two or a crescent lunge, and not only are you like really resting in the posture, but you're also using muscles to hold yourself in that posture, that's going to create mobility. Strength plus flexibility equals mobility. And mobility is what you want if you want to age gracefully. Because if you're all flexible and you're no strength, you're just a limp noodle. And if you're all strength and you're no flexible, then you're just a brick. So you want to find that in between, and you want a mat that can give you that in between. And that's why I like microfiber mats, or even just a regular cheap mat. And because honestly, I don't think that you should be like, you know, mat loyal. Really just be open to whatever comes your way. And sometimes that means that's like, you know, a $20 mat from Gaia, or a $10 mat from TJ Maxx, or you're going to invest in a more expensive mat, like a Yoga Design Lab mat, which I'm actually coming out with my own Yoga Design Lab mat. I'm crossing my fingers for in a month. We're printing it right now.
How cool.
Right. I know it's big. I'm crossing my fingers that we can get it done in time. But it has the microfiber finish so that you can focus on using your body for grip. Let me see. Did I answer the whole question?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I didn't realize like that there are so many varieties of yoga mats, and some don't even have those grips. Right. Very cool. So another question we have for you is, how do you balance work life and mom life? You know, because you're super busy, and, you know, this isn't something that you can do while you're holding a baby or, you know, and set your computer. Like, you are actively working, actively recording your, you know, yoga sequences and things like that. So how do you balance and fit everything in?
That's a really good question. I've been doing this, balancing the work life and the mama life for 2.5 years. My oldest son is 2.5 years old. So I've had a little bit of experience in this, but I still feel like I'm constantly learning, and it is a balance. So I feel like I'm constantly teetering, you know? But what I have learned with, balancing work life and mom life is that I need to have, structure. I need to have discipline, and I need to have routine, because there really is no working and watching my children at the same time, or working and even being with my children at the same time, because they can feel that. They can feel when I'm not paying attention to them, and they want that attention. You know, it's different if they're playing in the living room and I'm in the kitchen and I'm doing things in the kitchen, like doing the dishes or preparing food, you know, because that way I'm still kind of with them. But when I'm staring at a screen, whether it's on my phone posting to Instagram or on my computer editing a video, I'm so engulfed that there's like a wall up to them. And it's not fair to them for me to try to have both of those things happen at the same time. So I finally realized that I had to ideals for myself, and I was trying to mash them together. And that was ideal number one is a stay-at-home mom who is very active with my children and, you know, provides activities and can be very one-on-one and attentive. And ideal number two is a boss businesswoman who is going to be so productive and so efficient and so effective at her work that, you know, every single week she feels accomplished. And that boss businesswoman works as much as she wants. I mean, 40 hours a week, 80 hours a week, she'll go at it. And that was who I was before I had kids. Then right. When I had kids, I was like, all right, let's mix in that ideal number two. And they don't blend. And that's what I had to realize was my fantasy was not possible for reality. So I had to find a way to make it possible. And that was to finally, get my kids set up with some childcare. And, personally, that was hard for me because I wanted so bad to be 100% for my children. But then after I got over my own mental blocks about it, I saw the benefits of having my children in childcare. So right now, both of my kids are in a preschool 2 full days a week. That's Wednesday and Thursday. Those are my work days. And then my husband and I bring them to the gym child center on our off days. So like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, in the mornings for about 2 hours. And that way my husband and I, we can go work out for an hour, do yoga. We can take a shower if we need to. We can sit down at the cafe and get a little bit more work done if we're behind. And that has allowed not only me, but my husband as well, the freedom to do our work and focus on our work and be efficient and effective and productive. And then when that's over, there's a clear line. Okay, work gets put away. And now mom and dad time.
I love that. That's a really hard balance. And I feel like I'm just starting to go through that. And when I see your Instagram videos, you're, you know, doing a sequence, you know, just a short sequence, and you have your little one there, like doing tummy time or, you know, just sitting there watching you. It's very inspirational because I think that's a, you know, big struggle that a lot of us women go through, trying to balance, you know, wanting to be a stay-at-home mom and then wanting to be a boss babe like you.
To be completely fair, my first postpartum with my son Roman, that was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I really struggled with that. I really struggled with getting my own practice in or even taking time for myself. I felt like I couldn't put him down, you know, because a baby, if they're used to being held so much, you put them down, they cry. And at the time it made me so distraught. I'm like, I have to pick him back up. And it's different now. But at the time, that was really hard for me, was to take that time for myself. And it's different this time around because I learned how important it is for not only me, but for everyone around me that I take that time. And Leo, I mean, the first time I put him down next to my mat, he was not very happy about it. But I was like, hey, dude, you're going to do tummy time. And while you do tummy time, I'll hang out with you and I'll do tummy time. And that was how it started.
I love that. That's adorable. And you're right. It really is so important because you can't pour from an empty cup. So, I mean, mama needs to be just as fulfilled and, you know, complete to take care of everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
So my next question for you is, how do you piece together poses and sequences and know how they go together? The person who wrote this in says, I'm learning Sora Namasakra, A and B. So is that always the base foundation people use when putting a sequence together? And I guess like part two of that would be, I don't know if that's applicable to all types of yoga or just power yoga or, so maybe you'll be able to explain that a little bit better.
So Surya Namaskara, A and B, is sun salutations, A and B. And you might hear me talk about that in practice and videos. You know, like I'll say, we're going to do a sun A, or let's repeat that sun A. I don't often say that just because I want to make sure that people really, truly understand what we're doing. And anyway, so when you want to learn how to piece things together, my best advice is to go to a yoga teacher training. And I know that sounds kind of weird because you're like, well, I don't want to teach yoga. I just want to learn how to put it together. Well, that's where you're going to learn how to put it together. And that's how, like, you can learn how to put it together effectively, safely, so that you understand how the poses work in your body, how to transition properly between poses. I know plenty of people that take yoga teacher trainings and they don't intend to teach, but it completely transforms and evolves your own practice because it allows you then to intuitively make your own sequences. As far as Sun A and B, I'm trained in power vinyasa yoga. So I was trained at Core Power Yoga. And I have a few other trainings under my belt, but power vinyasa yoga is where Sun A and Sun B are typically placed together in a sequence. So Sun A is, if you've been doing yoga, it's where you do that mountain pose, forward fold, halfway lift, chaturanga, upward facing dog, downward facing dog. And in Sun B, at least the way that I was trained, Sun B is typically starting with a chair pose, and then it moves through vinyasa, which is that chaturanga, up dog, down dog, and then you'll move through some warriors and repeat that a few more times. And the idea of that is to completely warm up your body, wake up your body, get your muscles firing. I mean, that is mobility, and by the end, you're going to be breathing. And so it's not always the base foundation, and it doesn't have to be, but it definitely is a good place to start if you want to create your own sequences for yourself. But truly, if you want to learn how to sequence and to how to piece things together, a yoga teacher training is going to give you that knowledge.
That's really great advice. I like that a lot. So I do have two more questions for you, and they're pretty easy, but the first one I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Ginger.
Ooh, you knew that one right away.
Oh yeah. Ginger by far. I used to not care for ginger or spicy, and I don't know what happened, but now if I have a choice, I'm going for ginger.
So good. I actually feel like that's like the number one flavor when I ask people. They always either say ginger or like the cayenne spicy one.
Oh, yeah. And even better if you can mix those.
Totally. My other question for you is, where can everybody find you? Where can they find your app? Pimp yourself out now.
Okay, so I have a very active YouTube channel. You can go to youtube.com / Sarah Beth Yoga, but really you can just go and search into your Google search bar, Sarah Beth Yoga, and you can misspell that, you'll still find me. That's SarahBethYoga. And you'll find my YouTube channel. Definitely go there and subscribe because I'm uploading new videos every week, yoga videos, like 10 to 30 minute yoga routines. And then I'm also very active on Instagram, and that's where I show a more real side of my life. So YouTube is like these structured, very beautifully polished yoga videos. And then Instagram is me turning my camera on myself, like in the moment, in the Instagram stories. And that is at Sarah Beth Yoga as well. And then my app, you can find that at my website, which is www.sarahbethyoga.com. I mentioned way earlier that I am going through some changes in the app. I'm trying to make the member experience that much better, and I'm really communicating with the members to make it that much better. So I actually shut down the doors for new memberships recently, and I'll keep the doors closed for a little bit of time because I want to make sure that I can make these changes and then announce those changes versus having new people come in and be like, what's going on? What's happening? But there's a waiting list that you can sign up on my website, www.sarahbethyoga.com. When you sign up for the waiting list, you'll be the first to know, and you might even get a private invite when I open up the app for members again, which we will be doing sometime soon, in addition to finding out about the Sarah Beth Yoga mat. If you sign up for that waiting list, I'll tell you about what's going on with that mat, and there's a couple other things going on too, like I'm planning a retreat in Colorado in June, and just big changes, new members content, all of that stuff. So I hope you guys come say hi. And if you do, let me know that you came from this podcast that Erica sent you.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you. And by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.